I'm really curious, what is your expert like field? Like, obviously you're a big reader. What is your what's your favorite genre?
Oh gosh. I mean, I read so much. I read so much of so many different things, so I feel like there is none. But I feel like more of an expert on like specific authors. Like I read a lot of Joan Didion, I read a lot of like Otessa Moshfegh. But like I found this book in a little free library and I have like I think the way to get into a genre is like I found it like I also love classic Hollywood, so I found like a classic Hollywood romance novel. I found like a Halloween one, and so I love heist stuff, so I found like two heist ones, so I think that's gonna be really fun.
So fun.
Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood, but not this week because it is summer. I'm launching a new series about summer camp because I miss it. My name is Erin Bowles. I'm an actor and doing self-tapes, so I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm Erin Bowles, I'm 5 feet tall, LA based. I'm a writer, actor, and comedian, and I met my best friend at summer camp when I was 6 years old because her friend was locked in a latrine.
Okay, the latrine, 10-letter Scrabble word as well.
Okay, so we'll have to circle back to this because that's the way you refer to there's so many different words for a bathroom in the woods. My guest today is Haley O'Shea. She is a comedian, actor, writer, internet personality, and lover of romance novels. Pisces Sun, Cancer Moon, and Leo Rising would make anyone reading the aforementioned say, duh. Just as she could as a child, Haley can finish a book she likes in less than 48 hours because delayed gratification is not for her. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such a delight.
Our book today is, but we're going to do it in a roundabout way. Our book today is from 2021, Sunkissed by Casey West. I found it in a little free library maybe a year ago, and I saw that it was summer camp-ish, and I was like, good. I need that. It's definitely inspired by Dirty Dancing. This is Casey West's 14th novel.
Damn, Casey, I bet her pen is
I
tired.
know, and she like I was looking at her Instagram. She has at least two more that had been announced, and this is not her most recent. She's crowning on 20, I think.
Okay, well, I will have to check out because she did good.
What's your story with summer camp?
I only went to summer camp, I think, like, okay, well, like, there's a difference between like sleepaway summer camp and day camp. I went to day camp like my entire childhood, which I really, really loved, like the Park District day camp, and it's just like such a nice way to like meet kids who aren't your classmates. And like, oh God, you remember being a kid and you're just like every time someone like not like a kid, but like around like getting to prepubescent like puberty and stuff. And every time you're around someone who you don't know, you're like, that could be the love of my life. Like that might be my future husband. Like just every time it's like when you're younger, you're just like, wow, that stranger could be it for me. So I love summer camp because I'm a romantic. And my sleepaway summer camp, I really like too, but there was heavy Christian undertones, which is crazy because like my mom and dad aren't religious like that, but I'd had other friends from my school going there. So they were like, oh, Haley will tag along. So I like love doing all the woodsy stuff and the outdoorsy stuff and the activities, but then they'd like make us pray before dinner and stuff. And I was like, okay, Haley, just like keep in mind you are at a cult. So,
Interesting. I went to day camp for like 11, 12 years. That was it was huge for me. All my camps were Girl Scouts. I'm a lifetime member. And I went to a 1 week sleepaway camp twice. And I just like the summer camp stories are unparalleled. Like there's just so much of it that like every detail is crazy. I love the woods. I love all of it so much. So I was like, I was so excited to see something about it. And we were talking about this earlier. I am not really versed in the romance novel world, but you are. So what is, I mean, what's your story with that genre? What drew you to it? What's new? What's old? How do you relate to it?
So it's actually all pretty random for me because I had not, first of all, I hadn't probably picked up like a fiction book in like 6 or 7 years until one of my friends sent me a romance novel for my birthday 3 months ago in June, or it's June now, 3 months ago in March. I was like, oh, I'd heard about this author before. I'm not going to say who because I don't have many kind things to say. But I will say that, like, while she needs to take some, like, grammatical classes. She's good with the plot. And so I went through that book in like 36 hours. I was like, what's gonna happen? I'm so invested in these characters. And then after that, I like got my library card and I've just been checking out like 6 to 8 books a month on the regular and like going through them, mostly romance novels, some recommendations from people, some recommendations from the internet. And then because like the library is such a vibe, I like to just go there and like look at books on the shelves and see what I think might be a romance novel and then like choose some off that. But it's like I'm a deeply romantic person. I love to fantasize about things. I love to romanticize people's personalities before I get to know them. Even to this day, I'm still like walking into a room and I'm like, so who's gonna have my baby? You know what I mean? Like who's the one? Because that's the only reason we go out, you know? But it's been a fun journey. And now I feel like because I've probably read about like 15 to like 25 romance novels in the last 3 months. And I'm like working my way through my first gay one. It's actually bisexual and I love it. Although
Oh,
I will say this one is like so bad for the bisexual brand. It's like a 38-year-old
really?
woman and a 21-year-old hooking up. And it's like,
Ooh. You're holding up
and the,
Mistakes Were Made. I don't know the author, but I've listened to
Meryl
like a little
Weisner.
bit of that audiobook. And just remember it being, I don't know. I love audiobooks, but I was like, not right now. I don't know. But oh,
Oh,
that's sad to hear.
it's a lot from the jump. It's very horny, which is great. Like no one's ever mad about that.
Good.
But yeah, no, not great for the bisexual brand. I was like, ooh, representation. And then I was like,
Like, not that
yeah, not
kind.
that kind. But it's like now that I've read so much, I can kind of within the first like 30 pages recognize like what trope it's gonna fall into because just like romantic comedies, they are so based on tropes, like the friends to lovers or like the mutual enemy plot where two people like have the same enemy and so they fall in love trying to get back at that person, the forbidden love, the best friend to lover, like there's so many. And even though I like know what's gonna happen and how it's gonna happen, I'm desperate to read the details.
Why do you think that is? Do you think there's like it's partly the safety of I know where it's gonna go and then the excitement within that safety? Why do you think you keep coming back to this genre?
I think you're onto something. I do think it's definitely like the ooh, like I'm not gonna be surprised by the ending. So that's kind of like fun, but I'm gonna be surprised about everything that happens along the ways in which they mess it up and then move back together. But it's also just like okay, so this is like a really cheesy big stretch, but I was talking about this friend and I was
Go
like,
for it.
it's actually kind of reshaping my brain reading all this romance novels because like it's putting more hope in there and like reminder that like all these good things happen in life amongst the bad things because they're all just like very based in reality and like in people's feelings and stuff like that. So it's just kind of about the mundanity of life sometimes and then the beauty within that.
I
Which,
love
like I
that.
said, it feels like a stretch, but like that's how I
No.
think it
I think that's absolutely true. And I think what's interesting is that I think romance is always looked down on because it is a largely feminine space, and anything feminine and female is inherently bad. Or yeah, that's the cultural perception, not me.
Erin is signing off. Those are her words. Get the Chyron. We're gonna put it at the bottom of the screen.
I think like romanticism is so big right now. What's interesting about you saying that it is about the mundane in the non-fantasy romance. I love that you're finding more hope in that, like, escapism can still be rooted in reality. I think that's really neat. Oh man. What
Oh,
are some of
thank you.
your What are some of your like favorite tropes in this world?
I really like love the best friends to lovers, which like sounds like I have a best friend that I like want that to happen with, but I swear I don't. I just like, but I am like, I guess romantically a believer in like starting out as good friends with someone and then that growing into something more. And then I also really love the like mutual enemy like plotting together to falling in love because I think scheming and then falling in love is so cute. And I also love the people who take time apart and then when they like get back together, like things are where they're supposed to be because they like let each other grow separately type ones. It's a beauty of all of them having the same, like there's gonna be issues no matter what in life. And it's like, and if you find that right person that like perhaps you guys will be like good enough to get through those issues if you're both mature and communicative and stuff. Yeah, it's just like a really and it is a silly genre. And I feel so ashamed all the time. Like reading my books and stuff, like not just reading them in public, but like if it's popping out of my work bag and one of my coworkers comments on it, or if like someone asks me what I'm reading, I'm like, oh, it's like a silly romance novel, but I'm reading this, and it's like, why do I feel the need to like talk down on it?
It is bringing you joy. Why on
Yes.
earth is that a bad thing?
Exactly.
Even more than just joy, like already you have said so many incredible things about how it is reshaping the way you look at the world that absolutely makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, because it's what you take away from the books. It's not like what the books are necessarily about. Damn, we're getting philosophical over here. I'm loving
We just
this.
started. Here
Exactly.
Were you like a big reader as a kid or a
Yes.
teen?
As a kid and a teen, like I was definitely a kid who always carried around a book. And then like when Kindles became in fashion, I like always had my Kindle with me because I'm a person who prefers books. But I think what I loved about the Kindle was the anonymity of it. Because then like you don't like people, you don't have to tell people what you're reading. It's none of their business. This is my gray little slate and it has my books on it and don't talk to me. You know what I mean? Whereas like but and at that age, that's what I wanted. Whereas now I'm like, oh, books are a conversation starter, and I like that. I love when someone asks about my books. But yes, I was like nose in my book kind of kid. I was always at the library. I was as a teenager, I was obsessed with the Hunger Games. I read the like entire series so many times, and then so much fan fiction about it. PETA and Gale Forever.
All right. All right. Did you read any romance, or were you like drawn to that at all when you were younger?
No, I never read it when I was younger, but I think it's like what I was drawn to within those stories, such as like the Hunger Games and like I'm trying to think, it was like The Only Girl in the World, like a post-apocalyptic thing, but like I feel like almost like unless you're reading a strictly fantasy or a strictly like sci-fi type thing, almost every young adult book has a plot of like romance beneath the top theme.
Absolutely. Even Lord of the Rings has a romance in it. You know, it is a part of life. It's a
Yeah.
part of humanity and existence. It's always there.
That's so true. It's like one of the top five things humans do. Like we all do
So why not?
it.
I wanted to, because this is not a book that I had never heard of this or seen this before. So I wanted to at least read the back of the book, and then I think it misses a few things, so we'll fill that in. Avery has always used music as an escape, but after her best friend betrays her by kissing her boyfriend, even her perfectly curated playlist can't help her forget what happened. To make matters worse, her parents have dragged her to a remote family camp for 2 months of, quote, fun. Just when Avery is ready to give up on the summer altogether, she meets Brooks, mysterious, frustratingly charming Brooks, who just happens to be on staff, which means he's off limits. As the outside world falls away, Avery embarks on a journey of self-discovery, and when Brooks offers her the chance of a lifetime, she must decide how far she's willing to go to find out what she wants and who she wants to be. The end. I would describe this book as like Dirty Dancing meets Camp Rock. Music is a big part of this book. There, the sort of midpoint is Brooks works for the camp largely in the dinner band. The kids that perform during dinner.
Yes, they have an old-timey dinner band made up of teenagers to
Of
perform for the
course.
entire camp, which is, all camps do that, sure.
All camps do that. Well, first off, this is like in Dirty Dancing. And I'm wearing a Dirty Dancing shirt. Dirty Dancing is huge to me. Like in Dirty Dancing, this is like a whole family, extremely wealthy. So everyone has their own cabin, and it's definitely
True.
not, Girl Scouts slumming it. So they have a dinner band, and Brooks has a father who's sick, so he's here to earn money, but he wants to do music, so a big part of it is he's looking for signs, and calamity ensues. Avery helps him audition for this music festival, and that is the music festival is the big final piece, where he realized. And Avery, I thought one thing that was very interesting is that Avery's arc is figuring out what she wants. She has always been bending over backwards to be easy. She avoids conflict, and she's sort of figuring out, like, well, who am I and what do I want? How did you feel about that?
Okay, so actually when her dad, so in part of the like an earlier part of the book, which is like part of the catalyst that sends her on this journey of self-discovery, but her dad is like bragging about how adventurous and wild and like brave his her sister is, and then being like, And Avery's great. She's reliable and she does exactly what she's told. And like, it's just, and he's not in any way saying it to like neg her, but like what the feelings it brings inside of her is insecurity
Yeah.
and sadness and like a want to change. But honestly, when I read that, I felt like a bullet wound too. Like I was as
Yeah.
hurt as Avery did, even though I'm omniscient and I knew he wasn't doing it to hurt her. Like I was like, why would he say that? But I thought it was, and also I think there's a common theme in this world of dads sending their daughters unknowingly on a journey of
Yes.
self-discovery. Like just they like love to just say something that is so in opposition to who we are and then be like, oh, I didn't even realize. Like that set you off. But I thought it was beautiful. I actually did cry a little bit at the end just because it was like, it is. And I mean, I think I see parts of myself in that too. Like, I'm sure we all do, like, type a little bit of a people pleaser. And especially, I wasn't sure how I was going to feel in the beginning about like reading a YA novel because I do like tend towards rather than young adults. I try to go for things that are about people in their early 30s or mid 30s or late 20s. Like, even like the one I'm reading now that's kind of about like college feels like a little bit of a stretch. But this one just like immediately transported me back to that age and all the confusion you feel about your identity, and that's like the beginning of your like self-discovery journey. That's not even like it doesn't end and start when you're like 17, 18. It keeps going. It's still happening. Like it keeps going as far as I can tell until you die. But that's when like the first major shift starts, and it was cool. It like made me wish for more for my younger self, actually. Like wished I could have had this kind of conviction and bravery and willingness to like put myself out there and change my life. And so I was like inspired by this little teenager, this imaginary teenager.
Oh, I'm so glad. She ends up like the lead singer of the band gets a concussion and there's infighting. The one moment that they do mention Dirty Dancing is the moment that changes everything because she goes, "You know that song, I've had the time of my life," and she starts singing it and they're like, "Whoa, you're a singer." And she has stage fright
Literally.
and near the end, when the big, event is coming up, the band gets back together. They don't need her anymore. And she realizes, like, oh, I actually want this. I found something not only that I'm good at, but that I want. And that, like, it's okay to want something. And the big change is her going to Brooks, who at that point has, like, more or less become her boyfriend. And she's like, actually, I want this. And if that's okay, I'm asking for it. That's incredible.
It was. And honestly, like, I was like, even at my advanced age, I like can't imagine doing that right now.
No.
Like, I want to be that kind of person. Like, that's what I mean. I was inspired by this teenager. And I also loved like the fact that in the book, the her younger sister, I don't have any siblings, but it was really cute to see like a sister relationship reflected. But she'd like been doing a documentary on the band and like following the whole journey and stuff. And like even though her sister singing for the band rather than the original singer kind of like uprooted her documentary, although like I didn't get that angle because I was like,
No.
she can easily spin it into an even better documentary,
Yeah.
but whatever, we're Hollywood brained. But she like still went against her own interests in support of her sister. And like it's cute to see how sisters, and I really feel like this reflects in all women, can go from like being like, I hate you one minute to being like, I love you and I want you to live your best life the next minute, because that's what relationships are. And it was crazy to see them like supporting each other and being like, hey, I'm proud of you for your YouTube stuff. I can't believe you have all these followers. Like she'd underestimated her as well. So it was like, we can always surprise the people closest to us.
That was a really beautiful arc. And there's just like so much, I think, a great thing about, and it doesn't always happen or successfully come through, but I think it's great when adults with emotional intelligence write for kids and are able to kind of lay that out. Because Lauren, her sister, might seem vapid and might seem really surface level, and yet she is thinking about her sister. She is keen and aware and successful. And Avery, the older sister, is watching and making sure older boys aren't flirting with her. And there's that love is never really questioned. And when staff and campers aren't allowed to have relationships, and so there's a moment where Lauren is frustrated and tells the parents that Avery's been sneaking around. And pretty much immediately, Lauren is like, I shouldn't have done that. And I was mad in the moment. And I'm really sorry about that. And Avery's sort of like, yeah, I hate that you did that, but like, I had it coming. And that's
Yeah.
incredible. Oh my gosh.
It is. And I was like, yeah, there were definitely moments where I was like, I don't know if, I mean, it's been a while since I was a teenage girl, but I don't know if teenage girls are this mature. But you know what? I would love to see a world in which that is like how quickly and they could resolve things emotionally while just like being honest about how they felt and how things affect them.
Yeah, and it was really interesting to have this kind of frame narrative of Avery finds out like right before she goes to camp that her best friend had kissed her boyfriend. So she breaks up and her best friend Shay spends the summer trying to get in touch with her because there's no phones and it's, you know, in the middle of the woods. And I think that was really nice that like the structure of the narrative and then Brooks himself continually gave Avery the opportunity to like opt in. Like, are you ready for this? Do you want to do this right now? That was everyone was just really nice in this book.
They were like really, really nice. I was like, okay, these are like teenagers I wouldn't be scared of and cross the street if I saw them. But I thought it was very sweet the way that like even the way like she at the end, she's like, do I want to lose her forever or do I want to keep her in my life and try to start new? And like she chose start new and I'm like, that's crazy, girl. Like watch your back and watch your boyfriends. Like keep Brooks away from her because I would not trust that girl. But some people have more forgiveness and trust in their hearts.
I think I also, this is the summer between her junior and senior year. And so I think that is definitely, especially in the early parts of the novel, really feeling it of like, this is our last summer as a family together. And so I sort of like, I got to a point really early in my senior year of high school where I like looked around and I was like, I don't like any of my friends actually. I liked like one of them, but I was like, I don't like you guys. But maybe it makes more sense since I have like 100 days left here to just keep rolling with it. And then as soon as we graduate, ghost everybody and do my
That's
own thing
so
and live my own
true.
life. And so that, I don't think it's like conscious there. I think it is like, I agree. She's being too nice and too forgiving. It's definitely something I understood. It's very strategic.
That makes sense. I like your perspective on that. 'Cause that you're right. She's playing the game. She doesn't want to go back to school and have like no one for her last year. She'd rather have this girl she has to keep an eye on than nobody. And also, like, I did love the little side plot of well, first I love the major plot of like no phones being in use at the camp. I thought that added like such a great layer. I actually don't mind reading text messages in books. I think it's kind of fun sometimes and like gives your eyes a break from like staring at the little letters to see some stuff. But I just feel like stories are so much more interesting when phones don't exist. Like, and I mean that about like movies and TVs too. Like, part of why I love a period piece so much because when cell phones don't exist, like everybody's forced to communicate and or not talk to each other at all. And so where we've got these all these weird blurry lines with social media and texting and all those things. But I also love the little like Kai and Lauren will they won't they to the reveal that like Kai was actually hooking up with one of the other camp counselors. Like that was really cute. Like and that also just meant like he was just being sweet with her that whole time. Like he was just looking at her like a little sister. He wasn't like being weird or creepy. And I was like, these people are also nice.
I know. I just love like the ecosystem of a summer camp. What were like some of your favorite summer camp like isms or elements that came out in this book, if there were any?
I really loved all like the different activities they had. Like part of Avery's journey of self-discovery was like just trying new things, whether it was like the obstacle course or like a painting class. And like you rarely get that many opera like in such a small window, you rarely get the opportunity to try that many new things. And so that's like something very special about summer camp is where you get to like it is like a place for self-discovery and a place where you get to like explore these things that otherwise you probably wouldn't like go out of your way to try at home. Like you wouldn't spend money on a class, but since it's all already included, like you might as well go and do it. That and also like the outdoorsy aspects. Like the rock slide reminds me of, I think the summer camp I went to, like when it rained. And like maybe I'm literally just incepting myself with the memory of this book slash other people's memory, but I swear we had like a mud slide that we went down. And it was disgusting and it was gross, but like it was so much fun because you're like 10 or 11 and you just don't care about being that dirty as long as you're like screaming and laughing and having a good time with everyone.
I feel like that. I love that. I feel like every camp has like its defining physical feature, like the rock slide. Like, I went to two camps, one for day camp and one for sleepaway camp. And the sleepaway camp, is right on the Potomac River and has this, it's called a
Ooh.
poo tree, POOH, because
Okay.
you can stand inside of it. It has a hole, and then you
Aww.
can fit like 15 little girls inside of this giant tree. So it's like
Like
Winnie the
Winnie the
Pooh.
Pooh.
Exactly.
Aww.
The other camp that I went to, way more, it's in like the backwoods behind a little tiny church. So you go over
Cool.
this giant hill and then go behind like a huge cornfield. So like when
Cool.
you'll drop off your kids at camp in the morning and you can watch them disappear into the corn and go
Yeah.
away. And I just think that's so nice. It's the little things and it's like
It
texture. It's great texture.
is. It adds like those like visceral layers that you can like kind of like in your memory transport yourself back with. You're like, oh, I remember the feel of this and the touch of this and the smell of this. It was so nice. Was your sleepaway camp also like, it wasn't a family camp, right? It was like a
No,
kids' camp. Okay,
it
yeah.
was
So
just a
was
kids' camp.
mine. So it's like that's also the exciting part is like I think was reading this book and I was like, I didn't have that kind of family. And I like I'm more of a Brooks than an Avery. So like I don't know how I would even feel going away to camp with my family, but I loved going to camp alone or with like one person I knew from school because I was like, whoa, like this is me outside of my family unit. Like this is just who I am, figuring it out.
I even though I came into this book like wanting like so excited about revisiting summer camp, I definitely was with Avery and Lauren sort of groaning on like we're all gonna be tie-dyeing t-shirts together for 2 months. That does not sound fun. It's definitely not something my family would ever do. But I mean, I loved summer camp mostly for the people. Like I had friends that I wouldn't see anywhere else except for summer camp. But I think a beautiful thing that comes out throughout the novel is that that structure allows you to kind of like opt in and opt out. There's events we can do together, and then we can not talk to each other for a good 12 hours. And I think that's probably ideal.
Yeah, because that is like just too much time with your family. And I mean, like, even like as a kid, I remember being like going out to your cabin with energy and be like, oh my God, these people again? Like, go to sleep. I don't want to talk anymore. Like, we just spent all day doing activities outside. I'm tired. Like, I'm not giddy anymore. I've been with you guys for like 6 days straight already. Like, get me home.
Oh my gosh, I only went to sleepaway camp twice, and I think the second year I was in a like a four-person cabin, and the three other girls like all lived on the same street, had known each other since birth.
Damn.
And
Oh.
I was so anxious, so socially awkward. I was like, this
Yeah.
is hell. And it wasn't like they were
Oh.
mean or anything. It's
Yeah.
just there's only so much you can do in 6 days or something.
Especially when like they've already bonded. They have a soul bond, it sounds like.
But there's just so much I love about camp. I love the songs, I love the activities. I love when it rains at camp. And it's just but I still I'm like, what is it that makes that so magical? And maybe there's no one simple answer.
I also think a big part of it is like the lack of adults, period. Like at my camp, most of our camp counselors were like older teens. They weren't fully fledged adults. And obviously, like there are fully fledged adults like running the whole thing behind the scenes. But to tie this back to another book that I saw you've done recently, I feel like there's kind of a Lords of the Fly-in aspect to being at summer camp where even though you're not, you're kind of made to feel like you're in charge of your experience and yourself there, and that like adults aren't running every day of your life. Like you're kind of given those early tastes of adulthood freedom while
Yeah, that's
someone
a good
watches over
point.
you and protects you and makes sure nothing bad happens to you. Like that's kind of, I think, a big part of the magic because you're able to feel safe while pushing your boundaries and taking control.
That's such a good point. And it is also like you are in the woods, which is unfamiliar, and yet you are safe because it's this part that we've carved out, and you have one adult and then like three or four teens watching over you. And I worked as a teen for a while. But then also that so perfectly ties into what we were saying about why you love romance novels, in that there is this safety to explore. And it's not a lack of structure, but it's a framework to feel comfortable within. Ooh.
That is such a good tie-in.
How familiar are you with Dirty Dancing, the film?
I'd have to say, like, I was honestly nodding along when you were referencing all these things because, like, I do know I'm very familiar with the referencing of that scene
Right.
because I'm a romantic comedy watcher and a sitcom enjoyer. I've obviously seen variations of the "We've Had the Time of Our Life" scene played out across all of those, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen it.
Then you have something, you have a real treat in store
Required
because
watching, even.
absolutely. And what's fascinating about Dirty Dancing is that as much as it is about romance, it's mostly about class in the same way that this book is a lot about class. So Brooks automatically, there's like a little miscommunication, but automatically does not like Avery because he assumes that she is stuck up and wealthy, and because she is the customer and he is the employer, the employee. And that is a huge part of Dirty Dancing that they really lean into a lot further. The other big thing in Dirty Dancing that, like, of course they would not do this in a YA novel. Patrick Swayze is in a dance partnership. He is teaching. His character is like a dance teacher for the old
Got it.
ladies, and they flirt with him. And he and another employee are gonna perform at this big event at the end of the summer, this big competition, and he'll get money and he'll get to live his life, right?
Is literally
However,
it.
exactly. However, instead of getting a concussion like in this book, the girl gets pregnant. So she,
This I feel like I vaguely
yeah,
knew.
Baby, the lead girl, her dad, I forget the actual, like the partner's name. The partner tries to get an abortion and it's botched. So Baby gets her dad and is like, there's a girl about to die and you're a doctor and I need you to come help her.
Oh,
So
wow.
she's recovering, so Baby learns it, and then they go and do the dance together and they fall in love. I was really interested to see how they were gonna turn it into a YA novel. I think I wish they had like leaned into the class elements a little bit more. However, I think this book will make you say, okay, let me go watch that movie, and then you'll get it. And
Sorry.
if I was still in, if I was like in grad school, if I was still writing long essays, I would say that Dirty Dancing is maybe one of the best adaptations of Romeo and Juliet ever, ever. Like, because it is forbidden love. But what Romeo and Juliet is about how parents manipulate the lives of children and prevent them from sort of understanding themselves, and the preconceptions of parents interfere with the actions of children. That's my soapbox.
Should you be a lit teacher? Like
I,
the way
yeah.
you just broke that down was insane. You readers, listeners, you can't see it, but I made a little mind explosion thing as Aaron was explaining the Dirty Dancing Romeo and Juliet parallels that I like hadn't even ever conceived of. But then I was like, you're so fucking right. Whoa.
Yeah.
Everything is so referential, and like
Yes.
you don't like even what was that movie that came out a few years ago, the Sydney Sweeney Glenn Powell, Anyone But
Oh,
You,
yeah.
that was a reference to like the Taming of the Shrew or something, or another Shakespeare book or
Oh.
story or something. Like it wasn't Romeo and Juliet, but it was based on like a Midsummer Dream. I don't know, something like that. But
Oh,
like
maybe. Yeah.
everything is trying to reference other things,
Yeah.
but in really cool conceptual ways. And
Yeah.
I also did really love, like, I love an uptown downtown romance.
Yes.
Like, I think it's one of the most interesting things, and I also think it's like never not relevant to life because it's something that like almost everyone experiences, except for people who date exclusively within their class. But
Right.
like almost everyone has something like that at some time where you're like, ooh, how much money this person does or doesn't have makes me
Right.
uncomfortable because I have the opposite.
Yeah.
And so it's like
Yeah.
interesting to watch kids touch on that and kids react to that and to see the way in which Brooks was so defensive, but then realized that like this isn't even this kid's money. Like this
Yeah.
is her parents' money. Like
Yeah.
that's not who she is.
And Brooks has the added element of his father is sick, and so all of his money is not even going towards his life or his education, but going to his father's literal life, which I felt like, part of me felt like, okay, we're putting a little too much in there, but that's also a real kid's experience, you know?
Yeah,
It's
that's
real.
true.
And I praise her for including that. And it's exactly what you said. It's like life is hard and there are hardships, and yet we can still find beauty within it. Gorgeous. Ugh.
Oh, it was so good. I like honestly at first, like when I got this, I was like, oh, YA, am I gonna be
Yeah.
able to relate that to this at all? Just because like not everyone has this issue, but I notice a lot of people, like, as you get older, like, you have trouble relating more to books that aren't in your age range anymore, or movies or TVs. But I was like, wow, it actually just, like, returned me to the hopefulness of, like, being a teenager, where everything is new and everything's always changing, and you're not, like, scared of that, because that's just how life is at that point. Like, you don't have a moment to be scared of all the change and newness because it's so constant in your life. And so it was cool. It was cool to watch kids exploring and, like, finding themselves. And I was, like, rooting them on. And I was, like, thinking about, oh, and it was also nice because, like I said, some of the romance novels with, like, adults are a little steamier. And so it was, like, very cute to read something super PG that was, like, all about glances and, like, knee touch it. Like, I love those things. Again, I am a Pisces sun, Cancer moon, Leo rising. So, like, if my knee touches someone's knee that I'm attracted to and we're sitting next to each other, I'm like, oh my God, where's my ring? You know, I'm like, this is crazy. It's on. But it was really sweet to see, like, teenagers touching on that and exploring that.
And when they do kiss, it's good. I thumbs up. It was cute and good.
It
It
was
was.
really cute and it was sweet. But wait, there's one thing we didn't mention too, though, which was I did again feel like I got shot in that moment where Kai, who's Brooke's, like, best friend and bandmate, comes to his cabin door when Avery and Brooks are in there, and he doesn't know about them yet because, again, it's foreboding. And so he's like, I won't even tell my bestest friend about it because, but even though, like, from what I remember, Brooks does know about Kai hooking up with the other counselor, which seems to be a looser, less violating rule than, like, a counselor with someone who's a guest. But, like, he's already keeping a secret from him. It's so boy logic. I was like, Brooks, nothing you're saying is making sense. Just apologize. But
And I
he,
think
like,
they address that. I think he's like, I was wrong about that later on.
really quickly too. They do. I was like, teenagers do not admit they're wrong nonetheless this quickly, but whatever. I'm having a great time, so I'm not going to say anything. And that's such a big part of every romance novel too, where, like, right after the characters get together, they have, like, some kind of stumble that causes them to either, like, distrust each other or kind of pull away. And so it was sweet to see them, like, just be able to resolve it so easily, because at that point you're like, too, you're just so, like, blinded by love, kind of, and so trusting, and you're like, I don't really give a, like, this girl just had her best friend kiss her man, and she's like, I'm ready to get back in the dating pool. And I'm like, okay, good, let's go, little Miss Sunshine.
There's I guess a degree of like throwing caution to the wind that comes with being 16, 17 that is really nice to revisit.
Yes, it's like fearlessness that you just, like, lose with age. Like, you go from being fearless to fearful, and at that point, and the fearless lends itself to bravery and being unafraid to, like, try new things and do new things, or even do dangerous things that you wouldn't do. So it's like, it's important for that to happen during your teenage years.
Yeah, without a doubt. I am glad that I read this. I thought it was so fun and so cute. I immediately picked it up just because the cover is gorgeous.
It is very beautiful.
It's a gorgeous cover. The only other thing, did you have any like really impactful, life-changing summers as a kid?
That's such a good question. I feel like the one that was really impactful for me, which this is, like, again, just kind of goes to show how much of a nerd I was. Like, the school I went to for high school was, like, a college prep school. So there were lots of, like, summer classes and activities to do before you even started high school to, like, meet people and stuff. And I would say, like, that was the most impactful summer of my life. Like, just hanging out with all the other nerds, slash, some of them were cool kids who were really smart, whose parents were, like, forcing them to go to school early to get these things done, whereas, like, they would probably rather be hanging out at house parties and drinking on their parents' boats during the summer. But it was, like, it felt like summer camp, even though it was summer school. Like, it just, you know, going every day and then getting off and getting, like, Italian ice together and, like, talking about things and just having this, like, precursor to high school where you're going in and you're actually not knowing anybody, even if no one came from your grade school. Like, you now have these people who you get to walk in with on your first day knowing, like, it's cool. And plus, like, God, I'm such a fucking nerd, but, like, I really loved the feeling growing up of, like, being in an emptier school. Like, I loved being at my school when it was empty, and I loved going to high school and it was empty, and you're, like, running around and you're like, there's something, like, I'm getting chills, something magical about it. I don't know what it was.
It's like something forbidden or different or secret or special just to you. Oh, I get
Yeah, so
that.
that was really fun. What was your impactful summer?
When I was, it was halfway through high school between sophomore and junior year, I was 15 and I did a month at NYU. They had a little summer high school program for different
What?
majors. Yeah, so I
That
did like
is
the
so cool.
I did the like screenwriting one, and there were 20 of us, and we took a playwriting class and a movie writing class, and we went to Broadway shows, and it was fantastic. And that was the summer where I was making so many friends, and people were giving me so many compliments, and I was like, your friends are supposed to be nice to you? What? That was the first time anyone was like said they had a crush on me, and I was like, blah, 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 what on earth?
What do you mean?
Exactly. That summer really, really changed me. Yeah. And then it was hard to come back and be like, what is this world? And it definitely caused strife with my existing friends at home because I had gone and like had these experiences and sort of moved further without them. Which is, I
Oh.
mean, I'm thinking now like, well, how are Avery's friends going to interact with her now that she's back? And yet Casey's kind of answered that for us because she had that frame narrative. Good job on that novel.
Yeah, she really did. But it is like it's scary as a teenager when you grow and change, when you're like not sure if other people are growing and changing with you. Because it is like staggered. Like it happens to all you and all your friends different. Like you said, like there's different experiences that grow that. So I can't even imagine. Like good for you, because I feel like I would have been insufferable if I'd gotten to do something like that. Like I would
I
have come back to
was. I
school like
really
wearing a
was.
beret, like I would have always had a journal and like a pen with me, and I would have just been like, oh, a calculus for high schoolers, screenwriting is
Exactly.
where it's at, you know?
I came back swearing like a sailor. And I did have just, I kept being like, well, when I was in New York, to the point where my friends had to be like, Erin, shut up. It really caused like strife. It was bad.
Oh no, that's so funny.
But then
Oh,
like
that's
the
good.
following year, like I had my friends grow in different ways, and I was angry at them for growing and for their experiences. It all happens.
Oh God. I really, really loved that analogy, or I don't even know what it was, a metaphor perhaps, that Avery's mom said about like people growing out of their boxes. And it's like literally touches on what we were just kind of talking about high school and how it's like often uncomfortable for the people in their lives to see them growing out of their boxes because that's how they've always known them. But that, like, anyone who's worth having in your life is going to come to understand, like, you were getting too big for that box and they wouldn't want you to stay in there anyways. Like, it was just very beautifully said. And, like, you said, like, I think we said this too, like, seeing kind of really emotionally mature parents as well was very different for me to read, especially like a lot of my romance novels. Like, you know, a parent is often a catalyst for the main character's issues, whereas, like, these parents were so loving and so normal and so, like, level-headed about their teenagers that I was like, what the hell is happening? Like, how are you guys? Do you go to therapy? Do you have kids older? Like, why and how is this happening? But I love that because it also made me feel like more confident in my growing and changing, even still. Like, be like, oh, it's not like a bad thing. I'm not leaving anyone behind, and anyone who loves me is going to like love the person I grow and change into.
I thought that was really beautiful too. I'm glad you brought that up.
It was really sweet. It was a sweet book. It was almost saccharine, but it was really, really sweet.
I felt like there were definitely moments where I was like, okay, I'm reading a young adult romance novel. We got it. Okay.
For sure.
But it was like, yeah, you are. Lean into it. Have some fun. God forbid you have
Yes.
fun.
God forbid a girl has fun. Oh my goodness, they don't want us to have anything anymore.
Oh, yes. Well, would you consider it required reading?
I would recommend this to both adults and teenagers alike. And I don't know that everyone will take away the same message, but that's kind of the beauty of reading is that we all get different things from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's already been stated, but definitely watch Dirty Dancing. Good
I'm
God.
going to.
Watch Dirty Dancing.
I will text you about it while I do. Honestly, I
Thank
might
you.
like take a little nap after this and watch it tonight.
Hell yeah, I might do the same thing.
I love that. And thank
Where,
you so much for
yeah.
having me on. This was
Oh
so
my
much fun.
gosh.
You are a pleasure and a delight. And I love talking books.
Thank you, me too. Where would you like to be found if you would like people to find you?
If I'd
Where
like to
can
be
they find
fine.
you?
Yeah, I know. I was about to say good thing we're not doing this because now my full last name has been revealed. But I go by on Instagram, I'm Haley, Haley underscore underscore OC. And then on Twitter, I would have to take a deep breath before saying this out loud. It's Milfweed, MILFW3ED. And no, I don't have any kids. That's from the show Weeds. It was the weed named after Nancy Botwin. That is why I called myself Milfweed. I am a childless MILF, okay? And then if you want more of me, I also have a web series on YouTube called Brunch, a comedy web series that I did before I left Chicago like 6 years ago. And hopefully more of me in the future.
Hell yeah. And you're always welcome back to do a child, like a book you actually read as a child.
Oh, I like that. That's a good
Yeah.
idea.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to end the recording.
Yay!